1 Kings chapter number 18. And so we're going to be in chapter number 18. I'm going to kind of just brief you just a little on the groundwork of what's going on in this passage. And then we're going to reference something toward the end of the happening. And then we're going to come in the back door to our text. In chapter 17, we all know that Elijah was sent of God to go confront Ahab, wicked Ahab and Jezebel, because of their idolatry and their sin and their wickedness. And Elijah told them in chapter 17, verse number 1, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And then God tells Elijah in verse number 3 to go hide himself. And it is believed that Elijah went to the brook Cherith, and he stayed there approximately 6 months, and the Bible said that brook dried up. That's how drastic a drought, that's how devastating that dry time that was sent by judgment of God had dried up the brook Cherith. And so Elijah moves from there, and he goes, according to the instruction of God, to go to Zarephath. God said, "I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And he did so. He went, and it is believed that he was there the remaining part of 3 years. The total span was about 3.5 years, according to James chapter 5, lets us in on that time period. And so now we come to chapter 18, and God says in verse 1, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year." So this is the third year of this drought. The third year there's been no rain, not even any dew at night, no moisture whatsoever. And it goes on further. It says there that he says to Elijah, "Go show thyself." Chapter 17, "Go hide yourself." Now he says, "Go show yourself to Ahab." And so he did. In verse 2, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And then again in verse 15, "And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him this day." If you'll turn on over, we know that as a result of the drought, a lot of things died. There was an effort made by Ahab and Obadiah to go and try to find some grass so that they would not lose all of the beast. In verse number 5 says that. So everywhere they looked was devastation and dryness and drought and death. Livestock was dying, and probably, if it was that bad, probably even some people had died as well because of the drought. But they needed God is what they needed. They didn't need grass. Ahab went on a grass hunt. He'd have been better off if he'd have went on a God hunt. He thought what we need is grass just to survive a little, get us by, keep our horses from dying. But really what they needed was God. They needed revival, and so Elijah shows up on the scene in chapter 18 for that purpose, to bring about a showdown as to who is the God. If Baal is God, then follow him. If God is the God, then follow him. And the deciding factor was the God that answers by fire. Verse 24, "The God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And so we understand how desperately the need is for fire. The fire of God, okay? And we'll go back and deal with that just a little bit. Look, if you will, in verse number 38. Now this is after that Elijah prayed 63 words. The Bible said, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Using that definite article, the. And then verse number 41, it's been dry now, 3.5 years. The Bible said, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And rain was what they was desperately needing. And rain came when there was the focus and attention was given to God. But here's the thing I want to mention. As desperately the fire was needed and is needed, as desperately the flood or the rain is needed, spiritually it is needed today. We are in a time when seemingly false religions and false prophets and false teaching gets more attention than that of God, as was the case in our text. So we need that fire, don't we? We need the fire of God. And then we need, in verse 41, the flood of God. We need that. We need that moisture, that spiritual rain to come. I love that song that's sang here occasionally, send the rain. We need the rain. We need the rain of revival. We need the fire and we need the flood of revival. But the burden on my heart has been Sunday and this morning is that we will never have the fire and we'll never have the flood until we get off the fence. And the fence is in verse 21. Verse 21, the Bible said, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, you're stuck between two. You're at a place that I'm calling a fence. You're at a fence row, a boundary where the God's side meets with Baal's side. And depending on which side of the fence you're on, if you're on God's side or if you're on Baal's side. And he goes on to say in that verse, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to hang in there where the fence of two masters meet? You're going to stay in that dividing place, that boundary, that place where one day you're on the wrong side and the next day you're on the right side. You're up and down and in and out and on and off. Elijah, God's man, knew that if we're going to have the reversal of revival, if we're going to have the turnaround that only revival can bring, we've got to get people away from the fence. We've got to get them off the fence and away from the fence. And that call is coming forth here again today. God knows how desperately we need the fire, and He's the God of fire. He's a consuming fire. He can send the fire. It'll be a consuming fire, a convincing fire. Thank God the whole crowd said, as a result of the fire, the Lord, He is God. And then the drought was ended. Boy, don't we need that reversal of revival that will change things, change the landscape, change the direction of our nation. And just as it was under the rule of Ahab and Jezebel, the country had went to the dogs. And our country's sick, it's morally sick, spiritually sick. Our country this morning is doing well, I think, economically. But there's some things far more important than just financial blessings and material blessings. And amen, we need revival. And the only thing that's going to turn it is God. And God will not move unless He's responding to His people. Amen. And the fire nor the flood will never happen as long as we are content to hang around the fence, back and forth, up and down, in and out, on and off, type of a lifestyle. And God's man, I want you to hear that, God's man, God's prophet, Elijah, knew without being told, I've got to get the people away from this double-minded lifestyle. I've got to get the people away from people that are okay with going in two different directions, back and forth, giving allegiance sometime to the god of this world, the devil, or to Baal, and then occasionally give God some attention. He said, I've got to get them away from the fence. Revival will never come to the fence. God can't help you if you're on the fence. Listen, I want you to listen to that. How many of you ever thought it was strange in Revelations, in the book of Revelation, when God was dealing with the church of, was it church at Ephesus that was neither hot, no, it was Laodicea, that was neither hot nor cold. That's two opposites. But he said, rather you are what? Lukewarm, which is a middle meeting of those two temperatures. In other words, they weren't hot and they weren't cold. They were in the mix. They had a church that wanted to mix in the middle and find a comfortable temperature. But you know what God said? Now this right here gets me. He said, I would that you were cold or that you were hot. He said, I can help you if you're cold. I can help you if you're hot. But he said, if you're satisfied in lukewarmness, if you're content in the middle, and in our text, that's where they were. They were in the middle. How long halt ye between two opinions? We need 100% participation here at RBT, that everybody will make up your mind and choose to serve the Lord. Amen. And so I want us to look at something here. As he's calling them away from the fence, and there's all kind of fences. We could spend the whole service identifying some fences. There's fences between right and wrong, between the church and the world. Fences between male and female. You never thought that would need to be said in our day. There's fences now that's being, instead of a choosing and of a definite male or female, there is now a trying to find the middle ground of two opinions. And now kids don't even know what they are, and they can choose their own gender. Who in the world is so perverted and absent-minded to even think such as that? Amen. Who would have ever thought that in our day? But there is a fence. God has always had a distinction between male and female ever since the garden. And we're seeing a blending. Even our world has come up with what they term unisex clothing. That is, it don't matter if you're a boy or a girl, male or female, everybody can wear the same thing. That's just another effort of the devil to try to blur the lines that God has set up in the Bible. And churches are doing the same thing. Churches are blurring the lines, and you can't discern the fence between the world and the church. They seem like they found a happy medium. Seem like you go to the church and you don't know if you've went to a honky-tonk, amen, or not. And in fact, you know, if you've watched any of the mega churches, they specialize on the lighting and the sounds and the scenery and the excitement that of the world's stages. Amen. The day of a man of God standing in a pulpit, amen, with a tie on is almost a thing of the past. A man of God standing behind a pulpit is almost a thing of the past. Trying to do away with anything that has to do with old-time religion, old-time churches, amen, and preaching and standards in the Bible, amen. There's fences that are between the King James Bible, God's Word for English-speaking people, and all the other perverted, watered-down, money-making versions. Amen. Amen. Don't ever buy me a card of any kind that's got another version in it. I mean, I appreciate your thought, but that when I look over and it's got a Bible verse in it and it's an NIV or some other perverted something, I tell you, that upsets me. Amen. I mean, listen, I better get off that, but there's fences. Everywhere you look, there's fences. There's fences here at our church even. There's fences here. And we need to make sure there's not any, but we have some. Amen. And I said this last Sunday, and I'll probably say it again, but there never has been a time in my 26 years of preaching here that I've been shocked, blown away, shocked when somebody got on the fence of stay or leave. I seen it coming. I seen it coming weeks, months ahead. See, I can't say everything I know. I can't preach everything I know. I can't deal with everything I know. But I've been in this thing long enough that I know that fences has patterns to it. That if you are, you know, these signs and these things in your life, that I know the result. Unless God intervenes, you're going to be on the fence one day. And very few that ever gets on that fence of departure that did not have the preceding signs of detachment and distance and disengagement. And most 99%, and I only say that because I can't think of one. I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt that there may have been one that come off the fence and stayed with us and got right, amen, and realized what the devil was doing. But the majority, they get on the fence in that direction and that momentum carries them over. And out and away. Amen. And for whatever it's worth to anybody that's listening or watching, I refuse to take the blame for any of them leaving. If confronting them and talking to them and expressing my heart to them about a concern of direction that I've seen in their life, or me preaching God's word, if that offends and that pushes supposedly across the fence, I refuse to apologize for that. Now, if I got in the flesh and I was out in left field with a bad attitude, may have been saying what was right, but I was saying it wrong. I was saying it, you know, with the wrong motives. I would apologize for that in a second. Amen. Our church will never go forward toward the fire and the flood of revival as long as there's some on the fence. I'm preaching because God said to get off the fence. Brother Terry Deitch preached one time. I never heard him. He was telling me about it back in several months ago. He said he preached out of Luke 15 on the prodigal. And here's what he called it. He said, if you're on the porch, get back in the house. That was what he preached on. If you're on the porch, get back in the house. That if you're on the porch, you're looking to the far country, you're thinking, I'm getting ready to step off the steps of the Father's house. He said, if you're on the porch, get back in the house. Amen. If you're on the fence, get off the fence. If there's a doctrinal reason to be on the fence, then have at it. If I'm out in left field preaching error and false doctrine and I'm, you know, immoral, amen, and all of that, help yourself. I don't blame you a bit. In fact, probably the best thing, if that would be the case, instead of being on the fence, is put me on the road. That's right. And you have that right to do that. But if there's no scriptures, are you listening? I know I've said that before, but listen, God wants it said again. Get off the fence. Let's go forward. Praise God. You think God would be leading Brother Henry and Miss Vicky to drive halfway across the world? They don't even live in Tennessee. They drive from another state to come to church here. How long did it take you this morning, Brother Henry? Hour and 10 minutes one way. And to my shame, and most of us, he beat most of us here this morning for Sunday school. Woo, hadn't felt good, didn't it? I'm guilty. We take it. We just take it. Just swallow like this. It'll go down, amen. But here's what I want to deal with this morning. First of all, there is a leading to the fence. You don't just wind up at the fence. And there's all kinds of fences. Between flesh and spirit is probably one of the bigger ones. That probably covers all the grounds, all of the directions. That flesh and spirit, carnal and spiritual, that fence right there is probably about worn out because people stays on it more than any. Amen? Back and forth between the flesh, what caters to the flesh, what suits the flesh, what feeds the flesh, what attracts the flesh. They're on that side. And then come Sunday morning, they try to get right. They try to pray a little bit, and then they want to get on God's side of the fence. Amen. Listen, get off that fence. Amen. Get off that fence. God help us. But there's the leading to the fence that is worth mentioning here. Carnality and flesh always will lead to the fence. Always. And with that being said, I want to tag that by saying spirituality will never lead a man to that fence, to live that fence life. Spirituality don't. Amen. Commitment to God doesn't lead to the fence. It's otherwise. So there's carnality and flesh that leads to the fence. And the majority of churches are being eat alive with carnality. I mean carnality of every description. And I know when you preach on carnality, people will put that in only about one or two categories. You know, carnality is dealing with something you wear or music you listen to. I want to tell you, you can have a worldly attitude. You can have a carnal mind, a carnal heart. Amen. A selfishness. You can't get any more worldly than selfishness. You can't get any more carnal and unchristlike than selfishness. Amen. Amen. Selfishness or carnality leads to the fence. A second thing that leads to the fence is the absence of Elijah. You don't have no Elijah, then all that you hear is the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Jezebel's table, and that's all you hear. Listen, I can tell whether if you're going to go to the fence or wind up on a fence by who you listen to, who you follow, who has your attention, has your direction. Amen. Nothing or no one will ever lead you until first they have your attention. Amen. So be careful. There's all kinds of voices. There's all kinds of efforts. But there wasn't no Elijah on the scene preaching. And as a result, the absence of Elijah made it easy to go to the fence. And I'm not tooting my horn. If y'all think that, you're just going to have to get right with the Lord about it because that ain't the truth. I'm not tooting no horn. I don't have a horn to toot. I ain't big enough to toot a horn. But I do believe this with all my heart. That if I hadn't been over the years trying to expose some of the fences and say we're not going that direction. We're not going to be a fence church. I'm not going to be a fence preacher. Amen. We're going to go and serve God. If God be God, follow Him. That's a good thing to follow. That's a good motive. There's no telling where RBT would be today if I didn't deal with things occasionally, if I didn't point out some things occasionally. If I didn't say some things occasionally. I'm serious. I really wonder about it. I really wonder this morning if we've got people that's been here and come here for whatever period of time, that it wouldn't hurt your feelings a bit at all if you saw me out in town wearing a pair of shorts. It wouldn't hurt your feelings a bit. In fact, it'd probably make you feel better because you think, whoo, Amen. Preachers like me now. It probably wouldn't hurt your feelings a bit if I, amen, if I got up here and preached and I didn't have a tie on, but I had a golf shirt on and had it unbuttoned and you know, and had flip-flops on. Probably it'd satisfy you right down to the T. Amen. Probably wouldn't hurt your feelings if I allowed some people come in here to sing that was like rock music and head banging and long moppy hairs on the boy. But I got news for you. I know the youth choir made a big deal out of it in one of the pastor appreciation days, and it usually still laying up here. But this preacher right here is not for sale. I want y'all to know that. I am not a French preacher. I know if I watered it down, Brother Henry, of course you probably wouldn't be driving from Virginia. Amen. But if I watered it down, we could pack this place out, friend. In the years that I've been here, I guarantee you there's been 100 to 150 plus people that have went through these pews, if not more. And I don't hurt other than those that went to serve God. Like Brother Taylor over there starting a church and over there serving God. The majority of them left because they were on a fence that I was addressing. They were on a fence that I was preaching against and standing against. Amen. And I know, listen, I want y'all to know this. I don't know why I'm having to preach this, but you just have to take that up to the Lord. I'm going to face God for preaching it, and you're going to face the Lord for listening to it and what you do with it. Amen. But I want you to know that there's a lot more in the Bible to preach than fences. I shouldn't have to, and I don't. I want everybody to know that. I don't preach on these fences every time I get up. In fact, I'm usually backed in a corner to where I don't have any choice to preach on a fence. And if you're not careful, here's what you'll do. Listen, church, I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to you. Here's what you'll do. Well, I know we're live stream and welcome. I want them to know at least somebody preaching the truth. But here's what you do, because I don't nail it every service. I don't preach against it every service. I don't blow it out every service. And I shouldn't have to. There's a lot more in the Bible to preach than on fences. But I don't want you to think either, well, preacher hadn't mentioned this in a while. He must be okay with it. And then y'all start taking advantage of my graciousness. That happens. I believe that happens in the church where I was at this week. That preacher has got such a gracious, gracious spirit. Lives clean, nails it tight. I mean, got standards, amen. But he said, preacher, I don't preach it all the time. And he said, there's other things in the Bible that needs to be preached. And he said, I've got people that fudges the boundaries and challenges me. Well, maybe the preacher's changed on this. I'd hate to challenge my preacher like that. Well, anyway, I got to get on with it. Some of you say amen. There's a leading to the fence that comes from carnality, from the absence of Elijah. Here's something else will lead you to the fence, the drought. The drought will lead you to the fence, friend. And it is dry, is it not? Spiritually, I'm talking about. And if you're not careful, you'll get so caught up with how dry it is, it will make you dry. And when you get dry, you lose your discernment. You lose your discernment. And the next thing you know, the fence is looking good. The fence is sounding good. Amen? So the drought will lead you to the fence. Fence associates will lead you to the fence. Oh, yes. Most people never go to the fence by themselves. They go to the fence because they're following people that's going to the fence. They're running with people that's going to the fence. They're dating somebody going to the fence. They're in love with somebody that's going to the fence. They're friends with somebody that's going to the fence. Everybody paying attention? Birds of a feather flock together. Evil communication corrupteth good manners. Are y'all listening? Amen. You young girls in here, worst thing you could ever do is start being attracted to a fence boy. Girls, worst thing you can ever do, or boys, worst thing you ever do is start being attracted to a fence girl. Their music says they're on the fence. The way they dress says they're on the fence. And if they're on the fence, they'll do most anything. Amen. So the drought will lead. Fence associates will lead. Families leading family members to the fence. Boy, I'd hate to stand before the Lord for that. When I think about some of the children that's been through this ministry over the years and where they are today and where they could have been and where they used to be. Even now I'm talking about singing in the youth choir and stand and testify and participate in church activities and showing signs that God was having something to do with their life. And either mom or dad or both or a grandparent or a sibling influenced the fence move. And I don't have to tell you, if you've been here any length of time, you do it yourself. Do your own survey. Look at where a lot of those children are. Their life is a wreck, most of them. Had they stayed under the preaching of Elijah, had they stayed under the preaching of God's man, had they stayed in the house of God, amen. I know everything I preach don't set well with you. I know everything I preach and stand for don't set well, but is it worth the world? Is it worth taking your family to the world? We've had parents to leave the church because Junior didn't want to stay. Of course they're not going to want preaching. They want to go somewhere where there's a ball team. They want to go somewhere where they can flirt with the flesh. And so I'm saying this from my heart. I'm not being mean. I'm telling you, I was praying last night with tears. It's not my fault. I might be blamed, but it's not my fault this crowd's left. But I have no other choice, Brother Kyle, but to go forward. Our church has no other choice but to go forward. And I can go forward easier if I can look around and see RBT going. If I can see the men and women and mamas and daddies and girls and boys of the church, the preacher, let's go. We can't fix it. We hate it. We grieve over it still yet today. But we've got to go forward. There's still missions to carry out. There's still youth camps to carry on. Thank God they're still preaching and there's still people to win to God. I can go forward a lot easier. I said it last night. If I can look around, Brother Cody, and see everybody of RBT off the fence and at the altar waiting for the fire and waiting for the flood. Amen. I'm preaching my heart to you. I hope you don't take it wrong. If you do, I can't help it. No one accidentally goes to the fence. The last one of the leading is spiritual compromise. When you're willing to mix your identity. Part of the time they were identified with Baal, next time they was identified with the Lord. A second thing I want to deal with, not only the leading to the fence, but secondly the learning at the fence. I want everybody to listen now. You never go to the fence without the fence educating you. Are you listening? You may not go to the fence because of it. You may be just following somebody. You may just got caught up in something. You may just, amen. But when you get to the fence, that fence is going to teach you some things. And you know what the first thing is? Oh, God, help us. The first thing that it's going to teach you or that you're going to learn at the fence is to question your convictions and your confidence in God. You know why they were on the Baal side of the fence, Brother Fultz? They weren't really sure that God was God. They weren't really sure, Sister Vicki, that, you know, that Jehovah was the God. When you go to the fence, that fence will chip away at your confidence and that your loyalty to the things of God, and you'll start questioning your convictions, and you'll start wondering, is this really right? Is what Preacher Rackley preaches, is it really right? And you'll start questioning it. God help. Isn't it amazing how many people I've seen in my ministry here change their mind on some great things? I've seen them either sing or testify or whatever, and I could add to that list. I've seen them with the touch of God on them. I've seen them with the power of God on them when they had made some commitments that I'm going to dress a certain way and I'm not going to listen to certain kinds of music and I'm going to be a sanctified saint of God. They had the power on them and they had the touch of God on them. And then all of a sudden they got to working around, going to school with some of the fence dwellers that goes down to the big fence churches that say, well, there ain't nothing ever said at our church about how you're supposed to dress. They act as if that's not even in the Bible. Duh, it's very clear in the Scriptures. How anybody in their right, I mean, if they want to know, that's the key probably. If you don't want to know, you won't see nothing. But it's clear as a bell in the Bible, clear in the Scriptures. And I know that ain't all there are to it, but listen, I've seen them touch a God on them. Are y'all listening to the preacher? I've heard them testify with the power of God all over them in this church. So far into the glory of God, they couldn't hardly contain themselves. And then I watched them start making changes and crossing fences and getting on the fence. And, well, you know what? That's no big deal. And I've got so-and-so friends, and they go to these big fence churches, and nothing ever been said to them. Preacher dresses whatever which way, and preacher's wife dresses every which way. And, you know, there's nothing ever said, and then they start changing. Well, maybe I just got caught up in the moment. Maybe I just got caught up with Preacher Rackley's influence. And maybe this wasn't really right for God to tell me that I should be modest and I should dress right. And you second guess when you get on the fence. You second guess where you are and what you are and the direction you're going in. Amen. We've got a lady here this morning. If I knew I was going to deal with this like that, I would have asked for her permission to have gave her testimony. But I'm not going to mention a name, but I would at least say some about it. Because of the lack of the Elijah preaching, started second guessing and starting changing the dress standard and going from the right way to the wrong way. But they've reversed that. They got right with God. Thank God they got off the fence in the right direction. Amen. Amen. They come to church here because they want to hear it. Hallelujah, Lord. This ain't a shouting message, but it may help us to shout in the future. Amen. So there is the learning. You learn to question your convictions and your confidence. You learn. Here's something else you learn at the fence. Everybody still with Preacher Rackley? I'm preaching my heart, I'm telling you. You know something else you learn at the fence? You learn to be inconsistent. Back and forth. In and out. On and off. Amen. You learn to be unfaithful. You don't learn to be faithful to God, unfaithful to God at the altar where the fire's falling. You learn that at the fence. Brother Andy Wells said he put a tweet or a something on, and he said he got lit up with people. Just, and all he said was that people treat church like a casual date instead of committed marriage. And I mean, he called me about it. He said, preacher, he said, they're lighting me up. They're calling me everything in the book. He said, I'm talking about preachers. Because he made that statement that gave a suggestion of loyalty to the house of God. Amen. Church, people want church to be that which fits into their life and what's comfortable, and if I don't go, fine. If I do go, fine. Say amen right there. Hebrews 10:25 is still in the book, and I think I'll quote it just to remind myself and us. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. And by the way, on that point about learning, you learn. You know what else you learn? Kids learn that. Kids that can't drive to church, they have to be took to church or taken to church. They have to be brought to church. And if nobody brings them to church, they don't come. You know what they're being taught? They're being taught that church is a convenience. Church is a convenience. And mom and daddy, one day you're going to be gone out of their life. They'll either get married and they'll have their own family, or else old age or whatever will take you out of their life. And there they're going to be, having been taught at the fence to be inconsistent and unfaithful. Well, glory. This is one of them messages, buddy, that's hard. You just have to pull on it. I don't have to ask if you're liking it. I know you ain't liking it. But we just having to press through anyhow. Amen. Here's the last thing that I'm going to mention, and I'll move on, that you learn at the fence is that you learn that there are other options. It's not just God. There's the other side of the fence. There's another direction. There's another. I hope I never learn that. I do know that. I do know there's other options. And I've had all kinds of opportunities, Brother Henry, to go in that direction. Amen. It's been a long time since I mentioned this, and I'll not give details since we're in live stream. When I was preaching this church, and we didn't have hardly nobody, and I hadn't even took the church. I was just preaching here. I mean, we hadn't even got to the 20 mark. I mean, we're still in the teens. And I remember it well, and I don't know if anybody was here then or not, but I remember coming up from Sunday school, and there was a pulpit committee here. That happened more than once, but this was the first time. And it was a big church in Marstown. Big church. Big church in Marstown. Now, they didn't know me from Adam, but they got a hold of one of my tapes. That was back in the cassette days. And they was listening, and they said, that's what we need. I still remember it as if it was yesterday. I can't remember what I preached last Sunday, hardly, but I remember what I preached that Sunday morning. We about tore this place down. I mean, God moved in this place. I preached on two was better than one out of Ecclesiastes. I remember it. And they cornered me after the service. Said, preacher, we want to talk to you. We want to take you out to the steakhouse. That was when it was a halfway decent steakhouse. And we went out there, and they said, preacher, that's the kind of preaching we want at our church. If you're wanting to know after service which one it is, I can tell you, but I ain't going to tell you on live stream. Big church. What'd that do to me? I'm just young whippersnapper. Hey, that was flattering. Big church, big mega church, wanting me to come preach. I'd been like a bull in a china shop. I did want to go one time. I wanted to go one time. I knew it wasn't gonna last, but I went one time. Yeah. First and last. But that never happened because it never proceeded that far. Because they called me on the phone. They said, preacher, we got one question to ask you before you come. I said, what's that? We noticed up there at RBT. Well, he didn't call it RBT. He said, we noticed it had independent on the church sign. He said, is that what you are? I said, yes, sir, and to the bone. He said, well, that's not what we are. He said, are you strong on that? I said, oh, you better believe it. He said, well, the rest of the conversation was basically, don't call us, and we're not going to call you. Adios, amigos. I didn't cry a tear over that. I know there's other options. Amen. I'm not listening. Help me now. Amen, every once in a while, might help me. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I've had opportunities to go elsewhere. And I'm not saying as a threat. I'm just saying that I know that there's other options out there. But I'm not interested in other options. I'm interested in having a church that God is pleased with, that God wants us to be clearly off the fence, clearly away from the fence, and hang around the altar where the fire's at, and be able to say there's a sound of abundance of rain falling down there at RBT. Well, the live stream's probably, they're burning Brother Jeff up back there probably. Who in the world is that? Here's something else. Are y'all ready? I might as well just deal with it. So y'all can get over it and I can get over it. There's not only the leading to the fence and the learning at the fence, but there's the lingering at the fence. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know what that meant, Brother Carroll? Elijah was saying this has been going on for a long time. Y'all been hanging around this fence on, off, over it, back and forth, God and Baal, over and over. How long? You know what that tells me? The longer you stay at the fence, the longer you'll stay at the fence. Habits will be developed. Your flesh will like it. Oh, yes. Yes, your flesh will like it. And I'm willing, I've got my Bible open, 1 Kings 18. I'm willing for you to show me if I'm out of the scripture. But there'll be a lingering. The fence life is developed, not born. Number four, the leaping at the fence. Well, I'd like to hammer on this a little bit. The word halt, how many still with me? Oh, we're doing good. How long halt? That word halt means to hop. One of the definitions means to hop, to leap. In fact, listen to this. I want to tell you how serious this is. This is coming from our Bible right here. He said, how long halt ye? That is, you've been at the fence, halting, hopping, leaping back and forth. Look at this, Brother Jeter. Go down with me a few verses to verse 26. How many is there? Look at verse 26. And they took the bullock, this is the wicked prophets of Ahab and Jezebel. They took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning unto even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. For there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. How many noticed something in that verse? Brother Kyle, the exact same word that is used in verse 21 for halt is used in verse 26 for leaped. Here's what God said, Brother Craig. If we are halting at the fence, it won't be long till we'll be leaping on the altar. Well, I'd never do that, preacher. No, preacher, not me, buddy. I'd never give allegiance to Baal. You better be careful. Halting at the fence will lead to leaping on the altar. It gets worse. It gets worse. Amen. So there's the leaping. Boy, I had a lot I could preach on that, the leaping. Can y'all handle just a little bit more? I know y'all probably said, well, I ain't saying nothing. You think I'm going to speak up and say, no, I don't want no more, Bridge. I got a full load. I'm ready to go to the house or the emergency room. But I've got to deal with this one. This will be our last thought. That's the leaving of the fence. You got the leading to the fence. You got the learning at the fence. You got the lingering at the fence, the leaping at the fence. But thank God there is the leaving of the fence. And that's when the man of God steps up and realizes that if we have revival, if we have the fire, if we have the flood that God wants to send and turn this around, amen, we've got to get away from the fence. There's got to be a leaving. What is involved in that? I'll try not to run rabbits. I'm just going to give it to you, try to, and you just deal with it. Number one, there's got to be preaching that confronts the fence. There's got to be an Elijah that'll show up and point out the fence without favoritism. There's got to be confrontational preaching about the fence. or the fence is. And again, I want to say this, as I said at the beginning of the message, if you're content with the fence, you'll never have the fire nor the flood. So not only do you have to have confrontational preaching about the fence, preaching that confronts and exposes the fence, and I would appreciate any preacher that did that. I would want a doctor that would tell me the truth. I would want a mechanic to tell me the truth. Amen. And I want a preacher to tell me the truth. Not only preaching that confronts the fence, but number two, preaching that calls from the fence to the altar. It wasn't just get away from the fence. There's something better, and it's called an altar. Elijah said, let's go to Mount Carmel. Let's go to the altar. You can't have an altar to God at the fence. Fire's not going to fall at the fence. The flood is not going to fall at the fence, no. It's going to be when you get away from the fence. So there's got to be the preaching that calls people from the fence to an altar. And if you'll notice these statements through here, I'm going to reference them. Verse 30, the altar had to be repaired, verse 30. And this altar is representative of your prayer life, your prayer altar. How's your prayer life? There's not much praying going to go on at the fence. I can know when I'm starting to go in a fence direction is when I don't have a desire to pray. Right here, we're going to be doing round-the-clock praying for our youth camp, and we're going to do it again, Lord willing, before camp starts. Ain't nobody going to be interested in that on the fence. You won't be able to pray 30 seconds if you're on the fence. Hey, man. So there's got to be preaching that calls you from the fence to the altar. An altar that needs repairing. You may need to repair your altar. It may be broke down. Amen. To make whole, fix it. That's what that word repair means. Fix it. A second thing is not only repair the altar, but prepare the altar. That is, we need you to do some things. We need, of course, to cut the bullock up in pieces. And we need you to put the wood in order. Sister June shared this with me last Sunday. You know, theologian, Miss June, the theologian. And she said to me, she said, preacher, have you ever studied that out upon putting the wood in order, what that meant? I said, no, I never had. Never heard nobody else even mention. Of course, I have now, and I'd like to preach on it. I am going to preach on it in just a minute. But that word, put the wood in order, the word order there means to set in a row, to arrange, to join in battle. In fact, the first time this word, this Hebrew word is used in the scripture is in Genesis 50, verse number 2. It is used in Genesis 14, verse number 8. And it is referring to different leagues in a war. And here's the way it's quoted or translated there. They join themselves together for battle. When they put that wood in order, it was a military gesture. In fact, in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, numerous times in those two books, you'll find this statement, they set the battle in array. You remember that? Even when David came to kill Goliath, they had set the battle in array. That is, everything was positioned for battle. Everything was in place for battle. And in here, it's talking about putting the wood in order. Elijah was placing those pieces of wood in their specific place, in a specific alignment, because one of the definitions means to be in a row, to be connected. They were side by side, and it was positioned to show we're getting ready to do battle. What about that? Ain't that good? The same term order was used in the tabernacle in the wilderness, how that everything had its place. Everything had its specific place. Even the showbread, when the showbread on the table of showbread was placed, it had a specific alignment and a specific arrangement that it had to be placed in. And so when they put the wood in order here in this text, it's letting everybody know this Elijah means business. So prepare the altar by putting the wood in order, piecing up the sacrifice. All that's got significance. Pour on the water. Water's a type of the Word and the Spirit of God. Saturate everything with the Word of God. Pour on the water and then pray the fire down. Pray the fire down. Boy, this is good. Can everybody still with me, please? It ain't even 12:30. Lord help. Y'all going to get out so early today, you're going to have a stroke. Preaching that confronts the fence. I'm talking about leaving the fence. Preaching that confronts the fence. Preaching that calls from the fence to the altar. And preaching that calls the people close to the preacher. I've never seen this before. Look with me. If you still got your Bibles open, hopefully you do. Look at verse 30. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Wow. Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Listen, I'm going to preach it. I got to. Preaching that calls the people near. The word near there means to draw near, to be or to come near or to approach. Elijah realized, Sister Susan, that he could not help those people until he called them away from the fence. How long halt you between two opinions? But he also knew that he couldn't help them if they weren't close to him. He called them close to him, not that he could control them. He did not call them close to him that he could control them. He wanted them close to him so they could see God work up close. Oh my, this was a big step for the people because they were establishing with that move. They were establishing their identity now with God and God's man. Now, I thought about this. You know, Ahab tried to blame Elijah. In fact, I'll show it to you. Chapter 18, verse 17. When Elijah showed up, Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You know what that means, Elijah? You are the reason. You're why we've got the drought. You're the reason we've got cows and horses and beasts that are dying. You're the reason that everything's in a mess. It's your fault. Blame it. And you know he didn't just have that attitude in his mind. All of his false prophets preached that. All of the prophets preached that. Obadiah, even when he seen him in the road, he knew that if he went back and told Ahab that he found Elijah, that it was going to be bad. Ahab wanted to kill Elijah. Amen. And so here's all the people that had been followers of Baal, Brother Aaron, and now they're making a, everybody watching, everybody listening? They're making a visible move from the fence to get close to God's man. Are you listening? That's in the book. That's in the book, amen. The people just witnessed the nonsense and the non-productive activity of the false prophets. No voice, no answer, no fire. Sure, they're ready to hear Elijah. But Elijah couldn't help them if they stayed at the fence. He wanted them close. He wanted them close. Listen, not to be nosy or to be controlling. He was wanting to lead them in a different direction. You ought to try to find a preacher that wants to lead you in a biblical direction. Amen. If it's not me, then find one. But I don't know of any of my preaching that's going to lead you to the fence, direct you to the fence. I don't know of anything in my preaching that's going to encourage a fence life in you. Watch this. You know what Hebrews 13:17 says? Remember them that have the rule over you, have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Considering the end of their conduct. Amen. Whose faith follow? Those who have spoken to you the word of God, he said, you need to get close to them. Those that will preach to you the truth, you need to get close to them. I wonder, listen, I'm just going to preach my heart. I'm almost done, but I'm going to preach my heart. I wonder how many RBTers is close enough to me to even pray for me. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I may not ever say a word to you about it, may not ever address it at all, and I promise you I will act around you as if I know nothing. But some of you ain't close to me. And when I say close to me, I'm not talking about to my person, to my purpose and our direction. Amen. Can you pray for me? Don't answer that out loud. I mean, can you get down on your heart, on your hands and knees, or get down in your place of prayer, and you, because you are close enough to the preacher that you care what bothers him, you care if he's burdened, you care if he's dragging, and you're willing to pray for me. If you're at the fence, you're not praying for me. Just the same could be said about me. If I'm at the fence, if I'm at the fence as a preacher, count on it. I ain't praying for you either. I've never seen anybody get on the fence that didn't first get distant from me. God said, I'll give you pastors. God said, I'll put a pastor. Listen, you've never heard me toot the horn of perfection. I've never, in fact, I'm the world's worst critic of myself is me. Most of my defeats in life comes from that. And the babies are agreeing with that too. They're saying, get away. The fence direction and dwelling always is a distance from Elijah. Those at the fence will not look for Elijah to be their pastor and preacher. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we've tried our best to be obedient. We've tried our best to say what you want said, deal with what you need that you told me and impressed my heart to deal with. I knew weeks ago, last Sunday, I would be preaching on get off the fence. And we continued and completed today that subject. Father, I pray for our young people, any of them that may be on the fence, they'll get off of it. I pray for the parents, Lord, any that's on the fence, they'll get off of it. Lord, I know that I'm not in any stretch of the imagination an Elijah. I understand that. But I am called of God just as much as Elijah was. I know that. Never have doubted it, ever. And Lord, I know that you put God's men, you put pastors in the lives of your people to teach them, help them, lead them, pray with them, pray for them. And Lord, I'd ask you, dear Father, that you would work in this church, that everybody with purpose today, we're getting off the fence. We're going to get around the altar. We're going to get where the fire is. We're going to get where the rain is. We're going to see a reversal. We're going to see a going forward. We've got things coming up of ministry that we've got to have the touch of God. We've got to have the power of God. And we need everybody on board praying with us, praying for us. We need everybody on board. If they've got an attitude in their heart towards somebody in the church, they need to, that's negative, that's grieving of the Spirit, they need to get rid of that. They need to get rid of that. They need to let the fire of God consume that. We've got to have unity, just like those pieces of wood that was placed on that altar. They was placed in a unified order. Every piece of wood was connected to the other, and they was right there side by side for the same purpose, same altar, for the same fire, same sacrifice. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help me and help us as a church to get off the fence, get away from the fence. It's hard to hop across a fence that we can't even see it. We're so far away from it. But if we linger and hang around and, well, I'm not on the bail side of the fence. I'm on God's side of the fence, but just staying close to the fence. Make it real easy when they're having a bad day, real easy when they're having a weak moment to get caught up in hopping over the fence again. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that when a child of God is contemplating the fence, the Spirit of God will check them and say, no, don't go, don't climb on that fence, don't get on that fence, don't get around that, don't do that. There's no doubt that's the truth. But when you're ignored and your voice is unheeded, it'll get to the place to where hopping, we don't even have to think about it. We don't even lose sleep over it. And there's people like that. Lord, ask your will to be done. Take the message. And Lord, you know my heart, Lord. I'm talking to you. And you know, Lord, I'm not fabricating some prayer. I'm talking to you. You know my heart in preaching this and our purpose of going forward. And Lord, not once, Father, did I get out of line in my spirit, in my heart, and during the message today. But I had to preach it. I would not be right with you, Lord, if I had not have obeyed you. And I hope and pray, God, that it'll turn our church and we'll leave the fence. Get off of it, leave it. Get to the altar, see the fire fall and the floods come. Revival come, the drought's over. God, you're doing things. Have your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.